This episode of Recovery is Possible is brought to you by Retreat Behavioral Health, where there are endless possibilities for recovery. Retreat provides quality care at their leading mental health and substance use treatment centers, which are designed to offer patients truly personalized and comprehensive programs that are tailored to their needs. Retreat Substance Use and Mental Health Treatment Centers in Palm Beach County, Florida, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and New Haven, Connecticut do everything in their power to ensure that patients receive the highest quality treatment in a safe and comfortable setting. So reach out today at retreatbehavioralhealth.com or call at 855-802-6600 for more information. Hey everybody, this is Mike Van Meter and welcome to Recovery's Possible. And you know, I really am just so pleased that you're here with me here tonight, and I just gotta speak from the heart tonight. That's all I can do. And it's been a couple of weeks since I've done a podcast, and I'm going to tell you why. I lost my younger brother a couple of weeks ago. He died from all indications. It looked like cardiac arrest. We're still waiting for the toxicology and coroner reports to come back, but that's what it looked like. And he's younger than me, 2 years younger than me. And I just got to tell you guys, my heart is broken. Young guy, it's way too young to go. And what a great man my brother Dave was. And I just don't even have words to describe how sad I am about it. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this tonight is obviously this is Recovery is Possible, and we're talking about recovery, and wanted to talk about this because, you know, when I have patients that come into the hospital and they talk about why they've relapsed, that assuming that they've relapsed and they've come back into the hospital, and I ask people, so why did you relapse? And they say, well, somebody died in my family. My wife left me, my husband left me, that my dog died, I lost my job, any number of reasons. And what I always tell people is, no, you relapsed because you're an alcoholic or an addict. That's why you relapsed. You know, life happens. These things happen. It's terrible. Trust me, my heart is broken. These things are terrible, but we relapse because we are addicted. That's the reason why we relapse. And I'm coming up on 12 years of sobriety, and I got to tell you, according to everybody that's out there, if there was ever a reason to relapse, this last couple of weeks would have been the reason to relapse, and I didn't. And I'm glad to say that. I'm proud to say that. I'm blessed to be able to say that. And I just kind of wanted to talk about that tonight and talk about how I didn't relapse and why I didn't relapse, because I think it's important, because I always tell, you know, the patients that there is no reason to relapse because it's not going to make any issue that you're going through better, but it sure as heck can make it worse. And we'll talk about that here for a little bit. Now, I will tell you that years ago, my sponsor told me that one of the reasons why we go to so many meetings, why we do so much work in recovery, why we do all the things that we do, is to get ready for game day. He called it game day. And what he meant by that was that life is, it's easy to stay sober when life is going well. It's tough to stay sober when life isn't going well. And those of us that have been on planet Earth for a while, for quite some time, can tell you that there are going to be times when life does not go well. And the last couple of weeks was certainly one of those times. And we work a program of recovery. We go to meetings. We do all the things that we do to get ready for that game day, to get ready for when things don't go well. And are we going to be ready for it? And I've had other tests, you know, in recovery, and I'll talk about some of them, but they were to get ready for the big one, and that was this. This was the death of my younger brother. Now, if I live long enough, there will be other deaths. There will be other people in my life. It could be people closer to me. It could be a child. It could be my wife. It could be anything. But, you know, but relapsing will only make those issues harder. It will make them worse. And frankly, when you're going through that type of a situation, It's obviously depressing. You're depressed. And alcohol is a depressant, and it will only even make you more depressed and less capable of dealing with the issues at hand. Now, in this particular situation, my older brother and I were notified in the middle of the night. And by the middle of the night, I mean about, I got the call at 2:30 in the morning. And my older brother called me up and told me about it. And my younger brother was up in New Jersey, and I'm in the Washington, D.C. area. And he said, we're going to leave at daybreak, and we're going to go up and identify our brother and take care of all of the things that we need to take care of, because his wife is in Florida, and frankly, was just not in a position to do anything about this. So obviously, they were reliant on my brother and I to take care of the things that needed to be taken care of. Imagine if I had been drinking. Of what use to anybody would I have been? I wouldn't have been of any use whatsoever. And I would have just been a mess. I certainly wouldn't have gotten up at daybreak. And we were able to go up and identify my brother, talk to the coroner's office, talk to the police department, talk to the hospital, talk to the hotel people where he was staying, the company that he works for. There were so many things to be done. And imagine what drinking would have done to me with all those things that we had to deal with. You know, I had my other brother with me. Obviously he was in a particular state where I would have just been more of a mess. And then, of course, dealing with my father, notifying him, and all these different issues. But at no time during any of this evolution did it ever occur to me that, you know what, taking a drink would be a good idea. But how does that happen? How do you get to the point to where, of all the different things that you can do, drinking is not on that list with all of that stress? And what I have to point out is that that's what years of recovery has done for me and can do for you as well. It is just that constant repetition of working the program, doing the right things, developing your spiritual life, reading the literature, going to the meetings, talking to sponsors, working with others, doing service, doing all of these things over and over and over again. So when the big day happens, you're ready for it. And thank goodness I was ready for it this time. Now, throughout these 12 years, I've had other experiences, certainly to a lesser degree than this. But I had those experiences where I could get through this difficult time. I could get through the holidays. The holidays is oftentimes a very difficult period for people, particularly in early recovery, to get through. I've had other forms of disaster and trauma. Sometimes it's, something happened to one of the other kids, to a relative of mine, something very traumatic, but, traumatic to me and my wife as well. And I was able to get through those things. And what happens is you build up these successes over time, meaning you have this issue, you have something comes up, and you don't drink over it, and you start to build confidence. And I'm careful to use that word confidence, because I think in recovery, you don't want to say that you're confident about anything. You want to be scared. You want to be afraid of this disease. You have to be scared of what's going to happen to you if you pick up again, and develop that healthy fear of addiction, which I've done over the years. And when you have that fear of it and you tuck that away in your mind and you realize that, look, if I go back and I pick up a drink or if I pick up a drug, it's just going to start that whole obsession over again. And so it's put off to the side. And you don't engage in that. You don't give in to that craving and that urge that will start up that cycle. But when you repeat this cycle over and over and over again, then the neural pathways in your brain are reformulated, and they are now developing new ways of coping with the stress that you're feeling. And that way, You get through that period, then you get that success, and then your brain remembers that. And then the next time when you have something difficult come up, then you're able to get through that as well. And you do this, and you start accumulating those wins, I like to call them, those wins, and you get through them, And that develops the confidence to get through that period. Not confidence that you can drink or drug again, but confidence that you can get through that difficult period in your life without using. And you find and you refine the other things that you can do in your life that will be healthy, that will not be detrimental to you, and will not contribute to the craving. And that can be anything from exercise, meditation, reading literature, reading scripture, if you're so inclined. If you're a religious person, reading that, talking to other people, helping other people, going to meetings, doing these things, being of service, that is critical, that is crucial in recovery. And that is what I was able to do. And I got to tell you that this happened the first time for me in a major way when I was about 6 years into recovery. And I remember at that time, my sponsor, same guy, was telling me at that period, he says, you know, I don't really think that your recovery has been tested up until this point. You know, things have gone relatively smoothly for you. He said, but that's going to change. You know, you live long enough that these things are going to change and it will change for you. He said, I'm not trying to scare you, but that is going to happen. And sure enough, at that time, I was training for a triathlon, a half Ironman, and I was on a bike ride. This would have been probably the last major training ride before an event that I was going to do. And it was a long ride. It was about a 60-mile ride. And I actually had finished the ride and was heading back to the parking lot. And as I was heading back to the parking lot, we were on this path where there were actually a lot of people out. It was around noontime at this point, and people were out walking their dogs, you know, with their kids, doing different things. And somebody in the front of the pack had to slam on their brakes because there was a squirrel that went in front of him, and I think it kind of freaked the guy out, and he slammed on his brakes, and it created that ripple effect. And I'm in the back of the pack, of course. And then by the time people started braking and it got to me, I just slam on my brakes. And I went into the grass, but it had been raining all morning long. And it was so the ground was just saturated with water. And when my front tire hit the grass, then I went up and over the handlebars. I'm probably doing about 20 miles an hour. And then had to tuck and roll and basically broke everything on the left side of my body. Had a concussion. Could have broken my neck. And punctured my lung in a couple of places. And, you know, just was a mess. You know, broken ribs, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, that was when I'm laying there, and again, I didn't know if I was going to walk again. I didn't know if I was, you know, going to be able to have the use of my left arm again. And when I got into the ambulance and the EMTs started talking about giving me morphine, the addicted brain really latched on that. And all I could think about was, oh my goodness, these guys are going to give me morphine. And this is going to be a party tonight. And all I get to think about this, I didn't know if I had broken my neck, didn't know the condition of my bike, didn't know what was going to go on with the rest of my body because I had broken a lot of things. And the first thing I could think about was, man, I'm going to get some morphine. And that shows you the power of addiction because this had been about 6 years into recovery. And there I was, my first thought was, man, I'm going to have a party tonight. And that proved to me the addiction never goes away. It just does not go away. But fortunately, I had had a plan because I was told that I had to have a plan. And when I got into the hospital, that's exactly what I did, you know, implemented that plan, you know, notified my sponsor, notified my family, notified people that I was close to in recovery, and brought them all in. And we had set up that plan in such a way that everybody I knew, every nurse, every tech, everybody that came into that room, the doctors, everybody knew that I was in recovery. And in fact, that became sort of the running joke after a while, where I would tell the incoming crew that I was in recovery. And they would say, look, we think everybody here, you know, everybody, the people, the valet down in the parking lot knows that you're in recovery because you tell them all, and which was a good thing. I mean, that just showed that I was taking it seriously. And then the medications I was taking, I was making sure that every time they gave me medication, they knew that they had to be careful in what they were giving me. And then when I left the hospital, my wife and my family, they handled all medications, and medications were only given to me when I needed them for pain and no other reason. Okay? Because we take medication in order to reduce the pain and not take it for pleasure. And they should be titrating down, meaning walking you down off of the drugs. And it's charted. And if there's ever a point where the medications start, or the amount of medications start going up, then you know you have a problem. And fortunately, I was able to get through that experience and did not relapse and did not have any issues with any drugs, and eventually went off of the drugs. And I'll tell you this too, that when you've been clean and sober for a while, and then you start putting drugs in back into your body, you know, if you need to because of an accident like this, it's not enjoyable. I actually didn't even like the feeling of the drugs that they were giving me. And I was glad when I could get off of them because there were other side effects that I just didn't like. I didn't like at all. So it was nice to get off of them. But that was an example of a victory, of getting through a situation like that, getting through that situation successfully, and then building that confidence for when the next thing comes up. And then you build on that, and then when the next thing comes up after that, then you build that success. And I have to say that having those successes built up, by the time that my brother passed away, I was prepared for that and was able to get through that successfully. And I just tell you, you know, you need to be able to sleep, you need to be able to relax, you need to be able to calm yourself down. And alcohol just doesn't do that. And it just creates a lot more anxiety because now you're hiding it. Now you're going to have to start over again. Because by the time you get to where I am in recovery, you know that once you start, it's never going to end. And that creates its own anxiety level, stress level, and all of those types of issues. But I was able to get through it. And I'm so glad that I did. And we're going to go down and we're going to have this memorial service for my brother, and I can be there for his family and all the extended family. And just what a blessing that is. So guys, it can be done. It can be done, but you can't isolate. You can't go into this hole, into this abyss, that stuff that we all do in recovery. You just can't do that. Stay connected, stay with others, talk to others. Talk to your community, talk to the people in your meetings, talk to your sponsor, and by any means necessary, don't pick up that first drink. But I did want to share that with you tonight because that's just been on my heart. And like I said, I miss my brother, and I'm sure I'm going to be talking about him in a podcast from here on out. But drinking does not solve anything, folks. One day at a time. That's what we do. One day at a time. So you all take care of yourselves out there. And this is Mike Van Meter. This is Recovery Possible. And I will be talking with you very soon. Recovery is possible, guys. I know this. I've done it, and you can do it too. Hang in there. This episode of Recovery is Possible is brought to you by Retreat Behavioral Health, where there are endless possibilities for recovery. Retreat provides quality care at their leading mental health and substance use treatment centers, which are designed to offer patients truly personalized and comprehensive programs that are tailored to their needs. Retreat Substance Use and Mental Health Treatment Centers in Palm Beach County, Florida, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and New Haven, Connecticut do everything in their power to ensure that patients receive the highest quality treatment in a safe and comfortable setting. So reach out today at retreatbehavioralhealth.com or call at 855-802-6600 for more information.